Welcome to episode 17 of Published. I'm Tanya Hall, and today I will be speaking with Monica McGurk, author of the Archangel Prophecies series.
Welcome to Published, a podcast by Greenleaf Book Group, where we'll discuss the ins and outs of the publishing industry, from writing a book and finding the right publisher, to gearing up for a book launch. And now, here's your host, Greenleaf Book Group CEO, Tanya Hall.
Welcome back to another episode of Published. Thanks for joining us today. We're excited to share another author interview with you. This time we're speaking with Monica McGurk, author of a series including Dark Hope, Dark Rising, and Dark Before Dawn. Monica is a seasoned author who writes thought-provoking, multi-layered stories that showcase strong girls and women overcoming big challenges. In addition to her writing career, she's an advocate for women and a powerful voice against human trafficking. Our chat today will focus on author branding and the ways it impacts book promotion, audience building, and more. Monica has worked with our team on her brand strategy, so she offers some insights for new authors on what to expect when you're getting an outsider's perspective on your brand. Monica, welcome to Published.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. So you wrote a series versus a standalone novel, which would probably make some authors quake in their boots. It's quite an undertaking. So what inspired you to write a series versus starting with a single standalone piece?
You know, part of the reason I chose to write a series is simply laziness, if I could put it that way. I actually find it harder to write a short piece because the demand on tightness for the plot, the character development is actually, I think, harder in something that's a standalone novel. But, you know, in seriousness, I started out mapping out the arc of the storyline, and I found I could not get the story itself nor the richness of the multi-layered interpretation of the story done in what would be suitable for one piece as a standalone item. So as I got deeper and deeper into the planning of it, it really became in my mind a series. So it was a natural evolution of my writing process more than anything else.
So you knew that from the outset. It just, the vision sort of demanded it, it sounds like.
That's great.
Interesting. Okay. So you worked with a brand strategist here at Greenleaf Book Group at the very front end of the production process. And how did that help you plan for the series?
Well, the work with the brand strategist was really a lot of fun for me. And it was as much about the series as it was about establishing a brand beyond the series for me. So this was my first entree into writing and publishing other than what I had done on fan fiction. And the focus of this series was very tight and had a really strong platform underneath it on a topic that I'm personally quite passionate about, which is child human trafficking. Mm-hmm. But I wanted the brand to be broader than that, something that would sustain me into things that would follow on this series that might not necessarily focus on that as much. So as we worked together to define the brand, we thought about what elements of this series actually would I want to be hallmarks of my writing, of myself as an author, and what I could draw upon from my other professional life that would actually be consistent with that kind of branding going forward.
Okay. Would you care to share, since you kind of dropped that little nugget in there, what your secret double life entails?
Sure. I'm an executive in the business world. So I've had a long career as a partner with a consulting firm and then went on to work with several consumer packaged goods companies, leading things like strategy, marketing, e-commerce. So it's a pretty big professional platform that I've had. Mm-hmm. So looking for what has been consistent throughout my professional life that actually is relevant in my author world was pretty challenging in some respects. But it was there, and working with the brand strategist uncovered it. It included things like my passion for women in leadership and women and girls issues in general. Mm-hmm. which I can trace back to my own early entry into the professional world, where I was one of very few women in my profession, in my office at the time that I joined. My sponsorship and leadership of global women's initiatives in various professional contexts, all of which I could bridge into my author brand, which embraces strong female characters, really challenging the stereotypes of situations that you might typically find female characters in the young adult genre, mm-hmm. as an example.
It's so interesting to hear how your professional experience has influenced your writing. It's just, nobody would probably assume that without you sharing that with us, so thank you. You mentioned the planning for a long-term sustainable brand with your brand strategist. And what were some of those initiatives, if you can share a little bit behind the curtain?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was so much initiatives as thinking through what I wanted to stand for long-term. And the platform or brand around women and empowering women and girls is an example of that. And as we built out the brand, it was really making sure that the launch of the initial book and things that went through to the second and third in the trilogy did not focus just on the story itself, but really linked the storytelling to what was important to me as an author. So as we launched the social platforms, for example, weaving in things that really brought to life that focus on women and girls, and drawing from everything, the FAQs in the back of the book, the Q&A with the authors, to the entire marketing strategy, exemplars and ways to bring that to life, mm-hmm. so that readers could get inside of my head as we built out the brand, was really part and parcel of the work that we did. So for me, everything we did to market the trilogy and build out a long-term vision for what I would continue to exemplify as an author began with that brand platform that I worked with the brand strategist upon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the foundational piece.
Absolutely.
So it's so interesting to me that you have this business side where you're doing this type of work for other companies and brands, and then you turn to our team to help you with your brand. So how was that, having that sort of 180 experience? Was that a positive thing for you? Was that awkward and uncomfortable? Because you have this unique perspective with an extra layer of experience around this type of thinking. How was that experience for you?
I loved it. It's one of those things where it can be hard to be objective about yourself, mm-hmm. and all of your expertise might go to naught if you don't have someone to serve as a thought partner and challenge your thinking. And actually, that's true in the professional world as well, because really great agency relationships, as an example, are really characterized by fantastic push and pull on the thought process, the insights that actually help you unlock the brand, things of that nature. So I found it actually a really natural extension of what I do professionally, but turning it on me was really fun because there were things that perhaps I would not have highlighted about myself or brought to life in a way that I was able to do by this process of partnership and discussion with another professional who was really skilled in thinking about it in a completely new context to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes we do need that outside perspective to see, especially any blind spots that we may have in our own brand.
Yeah. The other thing I would say is, it seems hard to believe, but it was a while ago, and I was really a neophyte on social media for myself. So the opportunity to take the brand and then pull it into all of the platforms, social and otherwise, was something that I really valued. And again, working with that brand strategist and then being able to bridge that into the marketing work that we were doing was really helpful and new to me.
Yeah, definitely. And there's something to be said for starting, as you said, as a neophyte, because you have a clean slate and you can make sure that your messaging is consistent and strategic from the outset versus trying to make a major change in tone partway through.
Absolutely.
So now you have a number of books already completed in this series, and I'm curious if you did anything differently for the second and third books from a branding perspective, or if you applied anything that you learned during that brand strategy work as you developed those books.
You know, that's a really fantastic question. In hindsight, I think it was more consistent execution through the second and the third, and not really straying. I felt very strongly that the brand positioning was really spot on. So we didn't stray from the brand. We probably emphasized different things in executing it over time. And I probably became a little bit more fluid and responsive in real time and interacting on the different platforms in a manner that was consistent with the brand. Whereas for book one, Dark Hope, I really felt I needed to be much more planful to make sure I was being strong and executing the brand and not straying from it. By the time we got to books two and three, it was so natural and intuitive to me. And even to this day, when I'm in between, I don't actually have a big launch coming up or anything like that, but I'm still trying to keep the brand alive through my social media postings and other engagements. It's very, very clear to me what I stand for and what kinds of things I should be commenting on and how to bridge them back to the writing and how to bridge them just to what I stand for in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice to have that blueprint there to help you guide your thinking and, like you said, your commentary, even on things like social media.
Yeah, it takes a lot less time once you've actually internalized it, but it was the hard work for the launch of the first book that really enabled me to be in a position to do that.
Mm-hmm. That's so often the case. The heavy lifting comes up front.
Yep.
All right. Well, what's one piece of advice that you would give to someone considering writing a series?
So many things we could talk about.
You can give us more than one.
Yeah, and everybody's writing process is different. So, you know, it's hard to hone in on one thing in particular. What I found helpful for myself was thinking about it as peeling the onion and starting with a big arc and then chopping it into different pieces, so that when I started out with the first book, I was really, really granular on what was going to happen in the first book, but had a little bit of room to be adaptive as I got into the second and the third books. So I found the upfront planning really helpful, but then to be adaptive as the characters told me where to go and as the story unfolded and as new ideas surfaced and as I got feedback from readers who shared with me things I wanted more of, things I wanted less of, the things that had really captured their imagination. So that ability to have a plan but then be flexible within that framework, I think, is really helpful when you're embarking on something that will really take you several years. The other thing that I personally found helpful and fun in writing over that extended period of time was making sure I baked things into the process that made it really fun for me. You know, writing can be such a solitary exercise in many cases, and I am an extrovert. So I could focus a lot, but I get a lot of energy from being around other people. And so I found, as part of my process, particularly given it was over an extended period of time, going into the places I was writing about repeatedly, immersing myself in the environment, finding people in those environments to learn from, to learn about new things that I wanted to write about in the books, was a really fun way for me to keep my momentum and energy in some of the longer slogs mm-hmm. where otherwise I would have been spending a lot more time by myself.
So to be clear, the fun things that you're describing are actually sort of character explorations and maybe taking a turn away from the plot line to get into setting, things like that?
Yeah. For example, my second book in the series took my characters overseas. It took them to France, Ireland, and Turkey. And I made a point of finding a way to get to those locations. Some of them I had been to before, and they actually had provided the stimulus for even deciding to take the plot there. But some I hadn't. So I did a lot of research and got introductions to people in those settings. You know, when I was nearing what I considered readiness for initial submission to my editor, I actually planned a week to go to Istanbul and rewalked the entire plot line of the main character day by day, going through that story in Istanbul. And then I actually rewrote the entire flight home based on what I had experienced because of the richness of the encounters that I had there, the things I had observed that I hadn't been able to pick up from the other research techniques that I had employed in getting there.
Well, that does sound fun.
Yeah, it's hard to beat travel.
Yeah, and I don't know, maybe that's also a tax write-off then.
I hadn't tried that angle. I'll have to think about that next time.
Great. Well, any other advice you have for our listeners who may be considering writing a series or even writing a novel, period?
I just strongly encourage anybody who's thinking about it to go for it. It is such a fun exercise, and the partnership that I've found with Greenleaf was fantastic. You know, I went into it with some trepidation, you know, what was it going to be like to work on a brand strategy or to have an editor and all of those things. And I found at every turn, it was such a great experience to have that partnership, the expertise, somebody to actually push me to be even better than I envisioned myself being able to be. So if you've got any itch at all to do it, I say scratch the itch and go for it. You'll never know unless you try.
That's great advice, Monica. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to have you.
My pleasure, too. Thank you.
A big thank you to author Monica McGurk for joining us today. For notes from today's show, go to greenleafbookgroup.com/episode17. And to stay up to date on future author interviews, be sure to subscribe on iTunes.
Thanks for listening to Published. To learn more, please visit greenleafbookgroup.com. And remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.